This show is pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.
It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Kerry Kasem. Kerry brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie, the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn. And today, as usual, on this beautiful Super Bowl Sunday, I am here to be the managing partner of your life. And thankfully, Kerry is not here. And I don't say that because I don't want her to be here. It sounded pretty bad, but I do want her to be here, but not on today's show, because today we're talking about a subject matter that she knows nothing about. The law. No, I'm kidding. I shouldn't say that. Sports. Sports. We are talking about sports and the law and sports in general, today being the Super Bowl. And by the way, if you're not listening to this live, not sure how you're hearing it, but don't forget that all Gervie's Laws, Gervie's Law podcasts are available at gervieslaw.com, Audio Boom, Apple Podcasts, anywhere where you listen to podcasts, you can hear Gervie's Law. You can go to our Facebook page, check that out, and you will find out exactly how to hear all episodes of Gervie's Law, all the podcasts, if you decided not to listen today. The big day, and we have a great panel with us to talk about some important sports issues. Obviously, this week has been one of the most difficult weeks for anyone who is interested in sports and just about anyone in the world. It was a shocking, horrible, awful news to hear last Sunday. I was in a conference. I was listening to someone speak, and someone handed me a phone, showed me the news. I didn't believe it. I said it can't be true. And I think all of us still believe it. We've heard a lot of talk about Kobe and the tragedy. I want to introduce all of our panelists. And first, I'm going to start with the guest co-host. Ben, can I call you guest co-host?
Please, I appreciate that.
Okay. Ben Mycelis is the guest co-host today since Kerry isn't here. Last time when he guest co-hosted, he tried to use a woman's voice. Today we're talking sports. I don't want you with that woman's voice, okay?
That sounds good.
Good. I like that voice. Well, that's sexy. Ben Mycelis is a partner of Garagos & Garagos, and he heads the firm's transactional and civil practice. He's responsible for some of the most successful entertainment and branding deals and succeeded in some of the most high-stake litigation in recent times. He was awarded the 2019 Variety Impact Lawyer of the Year for legal accomplishments and his philanthropy business success. He has represented Colin Kaepernick for a long time now, and he represents Akeem Alou, who we are going to speak to today. Ben, tell us quickly, just so we can whet the appetite for people who want to hear about Akeem, and he's calling from the Czech Republic. Tell us about it quickly.
Yeah, I think Akeem Alou is one of the most important figures in all of sports today. He's responsible for the awakening in hockey, where we are beginning to recognize in hockey what's always been there, that there's been racism, that black players have not been treated equally in the league, and that they have just not had the same opportunities. You know, in hockey, it's been a good old boys club. And for the sport to expand, globally, and for it to be embraced in areas outside of Canada, the message that Akeem has been bringing and delivering is one of inclusiveness, one of fairness, one of safety, one of equality. And we've seen that in other sports, but strangely not in hockey until now. And so Akeem's been on the front lines and has been just doing an incredible job, you know, being an advocate.
And the first thing that was accomplished in that regard was his former coach, Bill Peters, who coached the Calgary Flames, was relieved of his duties for what we're going to talk about today, some of the name-calling and some of the abusive behavior against Akeem and others. Also here with us, one of our favorite panelists, Joselio Hansen. Joselio Hansen had a long career in the NFL, 10 years. He played for the San Francisco 49ers, who are in the Super Bowl today. Also Philadelphia Eagles for most of his career and the Oakland Raiders. Joselio, welcome back to Gervie's Law.
Thanks for having me back. Third time's a charm. Appreciate it. I always have a good time coming here to
talk with you. So tell us a little bit right now, because the Super Bowl is going on. Tell us about where your allegiance lie. You played for the 49ers at the beginning of your career, and then you spend most of your career with the Philadelphia Eagles, coached by Andy Reid.
Yes, play with Andy Reid, player's coach, really great guy. He deserves it. I mean, he took the Eagles to the 2004 championship, the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. Who knows if they were stealing signs back then, but then before that he went to, I think, three or four NFC Championship games, lost. So I mean, if there's one guy that deserves a Super Bowl ring, it's Andy Reid.
So how was he on the field when you were with him in practice? Was he tough? You say he's a player's coach, but what does that mean? He still gets the most out of his players. How did you feel while you were playing for him?
I feel like the thing that makes me think of the phrase or whatever that makes me that reminds me of him is when he used to always say, "Let your personality show." So he didn't care if you were a quiet guy, you don't care if you were a loud guy, whatever you were, go out on the field and let that show. Let the people see that. And when you're playing freely like that, I mean, great football comes.
So you're pulling for the Chiefs today?
Oh, for real, especially because of Patrick Mahomes too. He's an alumni from Texas Tech University. That's my college.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
the Red Raiders.
Red Raiders.
There you go, man. For
Guns
Patrick
up.
Mahomes.
Guns up.
Forget about the 49ers. Even who did you play with on the 49ers?
I played with Jeff Garcia a year, Terrell Owens. We had some good years. I mean, but then the last year we went 2-14. So I would like to forget that year. Then I ended up going with the Eagles, and we won a lot more. I was there 7 years. I mean, anybody that knows the NFL, winning is the most fun thing you can do in the NFL. Yeah. When you're losing, nobody wants to come to work. Nobody wants to work hard. It's just it's horrible. So I enjoy my time with the Eagles really well.
Do we have Justin Tinsley on the line? Not yet. Okay, so Justin Tinsley, I'm not going to introduce him. We'll see if he gets on the line. He was supposed to be here in studio, but everything that's been going on this week, it's been pretty tough for him, and I guess, you know, trying to take in the Super Bowl. So the Kobe thing, Ben, you represent Colin Kaepernick, and I know I saw Kobe, a snippet from a video talking about Colin Kaepernick. He has supported Colin. I remember his words when I saw this video. He said he has no doubt that Colin's going to be back on top. Obviously, they had a relationship, and I know Colin came out this week and had some heartfelt sentiments about Kobe.
Kobe's always been with Cap, and Kobe was a big supporter as recent as the U.S. Open. There's a video of Kobe going right up to Cap, giving him a hug, and that became national news as well. Kobe showing his support. Kobe donated to Know Your Rights, and the 10 for 10 gave thousands of dollars to Colin's Know Your Rights camp and charity, and was always a big supporter. You know, when I think this morning, I always wake up and I run super early. I was running this morning at 5:30 a.m., and I live right by the Staples Center. Pitch black, 5:30 a.m., there must have been a crowd of about 1,000 people at that hour, pitch dark, in Kobe jerseys this morning. And I just, in the middle of my run, and if I do say so myself, I run a good pace these days. But I paused and I just took a moment and it just hit me.
Yeah.
As you see the billboard with his face, with his daughter there and everybody there. And it's shocking. You know, I still haven't really even come to grips with it and the tragedy and, you know, the feeling of how this could happen to someone transcendent and invincible.
Yeah, you know, I have to say that it's really hit me hard as well, and I didn't realize it. I have to be honest, I've never been a Kobe fan when he played. I'm a Clipper fan. I've always supported the Clippers. You know, Kobe was kind of the nemesis, not only for the Clippers, but for some of the other teams. And I always thought, you know, we got to stop him. He's too hard to stop. But afterward, this has just hit me really hard. And maybe because he's a sports figure, because I love sports figures, we may not like them when they play. We may think, oh, there's some arrogance, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Kobe, whether it's Jimmy Butler, whoever it is. But in the end, they're just so special because they're our heroes. They're our athletes that we look up to.
And they're human, you know?
And they're human. And we saw with Kobe that humanness, especially after he retired. I mean, to see how happy he seemed. And, you know, being a father, and Joselio, I know, you know, you're a father of three now.
Yes, I am.
And you're very close to your kids.
Yeah.
Since you retired from the NFL, you've spent a lot of time. Mm-hmm. And it must really hit home for you.
It's been tough these last couple of days. Anybody that knows me know I bleed Lakers purple and gold. I grew up, I mean, since a kid, I grew up 10 minutes from the Forum,
yeah,
where the Lakers used to play. For him to go out like that, I mean, it's just been tough. I feel like I would compare it to watching your favorite TV show for 20 years and the star of the show retires off the show, and then a couple years later he passes. I mean, it's like us. It's almost like I knew the guy. I feel like he's a distant family member, you know. So I'm definitely in mourning, you know, as if I knew the guy. It's been tough. And then you add in the daughter situation. He died being a dad, you know. I right after this show, I got to go to Calabasas High to watch my daughter play soccer. So I mean, I understand what he was doing. He was taking a helicopter so he can get there faster, so he can get back to his family faster, you know, without the LA traffic and stuff. So you can't really blame it on the helicopter situation. That was like his limo. That was like his car.
I know. You know, so. It's funny because I had a birthday party over at the Mamba Sports Academy not too long ago. I love the facility. You know, Hudson, my kid, was there playing in the, there was a kind of sandy, beachy area of volleyball. He was playing football. They were playing basketball. It was an amazing facility, and I went to the guy who was manager who opened up the place, and I said, how often does Kobe come here? He said, well, not too often, every few months. And I said, well, how does he get here? It's so far from where he is. He says, always a helicopter. He's always coming with the helicopter.
Yep.
And when I saw the news, and I saw where it went down Calabasas, which is about a mile away from where I live, I was thinking he had to have been going to the Mamba Academy. Mm-hmm. Amazing, amazing facility. We got to take a quick break. We're going to bring Justin Tinsley into this panel after the break. Justin is the culture and sports writer for the undefeated venture of ESPN. We'll get him involved, and we're going to talk a lot of sports today. We're bringing Akeem Alou on, who is the client of Ben Mycelis, and a lot more for you this Sunday afternoon. Thanks for listening, and we'll be right back.
Someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive, with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers, and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now, 855-4-RGW-LAW, 855-4-RGW-LAW, or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Credit products are issued by WebBank, member FDIC. Rates and terms vary based on credit history. Amazon is not a sponsor of this promotion. Offer valid for loan products 90 days after today. Other restrictions apply. See website for details.
How do I feel? Awesome.
Like a huge weight has been lifted off my shoulders.
Hundreds of thousands of people are discovering the relief of a fixed-rate debt consolidation loan through Avant.
I paid off all my credit cards, and now I just have one easy monthly payment with Avant. And I don't have to worry about the rates going up.
Avant offers you access to unsecured debt consolidation loans from $2,000 to $35,000.
When I saw Avant was accredited by the Better Business Bureau, I knew that was the company for me.
Do you know how good it feels to only worry about one monthly payment?
Experience the relief of a debt consolidation loan through Avant. Plus, get a free $50 Amazon gift card after your first payment is made on time. To check your loan options and get this free offer, go to Avant.com and enter code 2525 when applying. Avant.com, code 2525. That's Avant.com, code 2525.
Others might shout you down.
Well, Mr. Chairman, we do a tax
bracket order.
Middle class. How many times do we do this before we learn this?
We give you a voice. AM 790 KABC.
Welcome back to Gervie's Law. Still thinking about what can go wrong? Instead, let's get excited about what can go right on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. I'm Alan Gervie, and I'm here with a panel of sports experts. We have Ben Mycelis here, who's of Garagos & Garagos. Partner there represents Colin Kaepernick. And Akeem Alou, who hopefully we'll be speaking to shortly. He's in the Czech Republic. We also have Hoselio Hansen, 10 years in the NFL, played for the Eagles for most of that, 49ers and Raiders. And now we want to welcome to the show Justin Tinsley. He is a culture and sports writer for The Undefeated, which is part of ESPN. Great writer, wrote a great article this week on Kobe and the Grammys. Justin, welcome to Gervie's Law.
Hey, thank you for having me on. It's an honor and a privilege.
It's great to have you. Obviously, we have to start off just quickly with the inevitable question that everyone's talking about. And I don't know if you heard us in the first segment, but Ben and Hoselio were putting in their two cents about how poignant the loss has been of Kobe. Tell us about your experience this past week.
It was, I think the best way to describe it is, and I think a lot of people are using this word, it's surreal. I was covering the Grammy and I was in the media room and I was working on a story about Nipsey Hussle and how, you know, LA, Nipsey Hussle hasn't even been gone a year. And, you know, that passing really struck LA to its core. And then to get that text message on your phone that says Kobe Bryant involved in it, killed in a helicopter crash, you're thinking like, okay. Everybody thought the same thing. Like, okay, this has to be fake. There's right. No way. Like, let me go to his Twitter page and, you know, kill debunk that. But then the text message started coming in more and more. And then you saw the confirmation and it just struck you like it sounds cliche, but a ton of bricks. You know, I heard you all earlier. You were talking about, like, even if you weren't a fan of Kobe, I was talking with a buddy of mine earlier about this and he was the same way. I was never a huge fan of him, but this really messed me up. But the reason is, like, if you follow basketball, Kobe Bryant is a part of your life. Yeah. Even if you actively rooted against him, even if you were one of those fans in Philadelphia at the 2002 All-Star game that booed him after he won an MVP in his hometown, he's part of your life. So when that part of your life leaves, a small part of you does as well. Because if you love the game, and Kobe Bryant loved the game of basketball, his work ethic is second to none. That's why it impacts you like that. And so how it impacted me, I was shaking for a little bit. To be writing about Nipsey Hussle inside Staples Center when both of his jerseys that are retired, they're mere feet away from me. And then I hear Kobe Bryant, who played his entire 20-year career in Los Angeles and really helped make the Staples Center what it was. I'm still floored in a lot of ways, and I still can't get over it. In a lot of ways, I don't know if I ever will get over it because this is a monumental passing in all of our lives.
Yeah, I don't think it's something that you ever get over. We will always remember where we were when we got the news.
Absolutely.
And there's not that many people. I remember Michael Jackson where I was, not a whole lot of others. And when you talk about the huge loss, just the reaction from the NBA players tells you how much love they had for him behind the scenes. You know, we're fans. We see him play. But to hear these stories, you know, I'm a big fan of DeMar DeRozan, and I was listening to how he impacted DeMar DeRozan being an L.A. guy. Now, Joselio, he grew up not too far from you in L.A., an athlete, went to SC, and how Kobe affected DeMar.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really scary situation. Scary thing to think that, you know, we can go at any time in this world. I mean, Kobe's super big. I mean, if Kobe can go, any of us can go. Yeah. You know, I mean, you just don't hear mm-hmm. those big guys going like that. Like, you know, like you said, Michael Jackson, when I heard about him,
yeah.
I was shooken. But Kobe, that's a whole nother level, man. He's super, super healthy.
Yeah.
Young guy, just got into his family life, his, just retired. I mean, you just, this is the first of all time, man.
And there was really no part of it that had a silver lining. And sometimes in these tragedies, you look for the daughter lived, or but,
right.
You know, as you dug deeper, it just got more tragic. And there was no saving grace to the story other than an unadulterated tragedy with nothing else. And
that's a good point. And I think people have searched for some sort of silver lining, but you just can't find any. It's impossible. And that's, I think, Joselio, what you're talking about. It's bigger than life. Let's change gears a little bit. I mean, obviously it's really hard to talk about some of these other subjects, but, life for those of us who are here goes on. We need to talk about another serious situation. And Ben, I'm going to have you take the lead on it. The one thing that I must say, and I hadn't said before, that my mom from Toronto is here sitting in. She's been vacationing here in L.A. And the next story has a Canadian mom. It has a Canadian connection because a fellow Canadian who has had a very different experience, I think, in the NHL than you did when you played for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Oh, that was a while ago.
Yeah, it was different back then. I don't even think they wore helmets when you played. But Ben, why don't you tell the story of Akeem Alou? And we're really privileged to have him on the line from the Czech Republic. Amazing that we were able to hook up. And Ben, you're representing Akeem. Tell us the story.
Yeah, so I represent Akeem. Akeem came to me recently as a whistleblower, where he sent this tweet regarding coach Bill Peters and racist experiences that he had, that Akeem experienced, which led to others feeling comfortable and coming out with their stories. This has been called the Me Too moment of hockey. But it's a Me Too movement about race. It's a Me Too movement about safety. And it's a Me Too movement about propelling this sport, you know, really into modernization and making the sport more than a provincial Canadian,
right,
and to some extent U.S. sport. And Akeem went from that tweet and just started talking about difficult issues, one after the other. And so it was not just about this tweet, but in Akeem, you've learned when you look back at his history, he's always just told it as it is.
Yeah.
When there was this hazing scandal and hazing was rampant, when he was playing in, you know, before the juniors in Canada, which is the hockey junior Olympics,
right.
You know, Akeem was one of the people who came out and said, why are coaches forcing kids to go in the back of a bus naked, you know, and turning the AC to the hottest, you know, the hottest that thing that there is, and cramping us in a bus and putting us through this. This has nothing to do with hockey.
Yeah.
And so Akeem's a straight shooter. And what I've just grown to really just admire him, you know, as a client, you know, as a friend, and his story's been profound. But without me talking more, I'd love to introduce the world here and the LA community to Akeem Alou. Akeem, how are you?
Hey guys, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
And so, Akeem, why don't we start off with you telling the audience where are you right now?
I'm in Czech Republic. It's about 12:30 a.m. here at night. We'll play tonight.
Akeem, don't be so humble. Tell us what happened in the game, because we know there was good news for you in your game tonight.
I got my first goal here in the Czech League. It was nice. It was nice to get out of the way. Obviously, hockey is one of those things that it's nice to break the ice. You don't want to go too long into playing without getting your first one, then you start kind of gripping your stick a little too tight and getting a little nervous. So it was nice to get the first one out of the way tonight, and I had a couple assists the night before. So, so far, so good.
But you've only been there for a short period of time because you were picked up mid-season. And, you know, tell us a little bit about your experience in the NHL and also the minors with Bill Peters. And we have Justin Tinsley on the line, who's a senior writer for The Undefeated. And he's a culture and sports writer, which means that this is right up his alley when you talk about the culture in the NHL and what Bill Peters has since come out and admitted, even though I got to tell you, his apology was about as weak an apology as you could hear. He tried to pretend like he was coming out with an apology, but I'll tell you, anyone who listens to it is going to think he was really protecting himself and almost covering up. So I'm not sure it was as genuine and sincere as it should have been. But go ahead, Akeem.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with some of the points that you mentioned. Hockey's just one of those sports where it's a lot of the same types of people playing, and it's a Caucasian majority of people playing the game. So it's obviously tough for minorities to kind of get in, and you sort of feel out of place because, I mean, my whole career I played with one other minority, with an Indian player, and that was when I was 17 years old. So I mean, I'm 30 now, so that's a long time to play. You kind of feel secluded, obviously. It's kind of some of the old tactics of being a team guy and the hazing rituals and stuff like that kind of still live on in the game. It's just a sport that I've been working with Ben here for about 4 months, and, I mean, our goal is just to kind of expand the horizons a little bit and find a way, I think, first and foremost, kind of how to grow it and have more minorities get involved from the grassroots levels. And I think the number one thing to do that is to make this sport more affordable. I mean, when you look at the most popular sports in the world, they're soccer, basketball, things that you can just get a pair of shoes and a ball and you're ready to go. Hockey, a pair of skates is $1,200. So that's one piece of equipment out of probably 30 things that you need during a game. So that right away excludes a majority of people because of the price tag.
And especially when you're talking about, Akeem, I just want to say, when you're talking about little kids, when you start playing, and the kids who are playing now, my son's 6 years old, to play on a travel team, and he plays hockey here in L.A., $4,000 for one season. How many people can afford that to play at 6 years old, $4,000? And that's just talking about going to games. Forget about the equipment. But what I want to do, I want to focus in on this Bill Peters thing, because what he said in his apology was that it was what he said wasn't directed at any one player. Yet tell us about what he said about when he used the N-word and he talked about the music, of all things, the music you were listening to.
Yeah, I mean, that apology I've kind of talked about numerous times. I feel like it was more of a letter trying to keep his job than apologizing to me. That's kind of the way I read it. And I mean, I'm not really sure who else we would be talking to. I was obviously the only black or minority in the room. If I remember correctly, I had a Meek Mill song playing. And I mean, everybody knows the dressing room is a sanctuary. So it's one of those things where, like, coaches don't really get involved in music playing and whatnot. You kind of got to go out of your way to make a comment about that. That's usually just between the team and your teammates. So, I mean, for him to come out and say something like that, that was kind of a shock to me, but I think it was a shock to a lot of the guys in the room as well. So, I mean, obviously it was a hard situation, and I kind of try to prevent that from happening again.
Justin, are you familiar with any other incidences where music, the choice of music, because athletes are famous, and, you know, Joselio's smiling here, you know, for pregame stuff and in baseball when you have the walk-up music. I mean, who comments? How in hockey is a coach commenting about a music that Akeem may be listening to?
Well, first and foremost, man, I applaud Akeem for coming out about that. Because, you know, a lot of people just, they take stuff like that on the chin and be like, all right, this is just the way of life, and I'm going to just move on. When in reality, your courage to speak out and say stuff like that, it's going to give the next person to do that. And when just thinking about that coach's apology, Coach Peter's apology, it reminds me of something my grandmother said a long time ago. Like, for a lot of people, it's hard to apologize when they feel like they haven't done anything wrong. And unfortunately, I can't be in that guy's head, but if you can't apologize for something like that, then you obviously don't feel like you're wrong. And as Akeem said, a locker room is a safe space. I've been in obviously a lot of locker rooms for like media availability, and you know, you hear all types of songs in there. And for me, for one, Akeem, I applaud you for having great taste in music, because I too am a Meek Mill fan. I'm a huge fan of Meek, so I'm sure whatever you were playing was a fire song. So you got my support, brother. I can't. There's one situation in particular that sticks out in my mind, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but I believe it was during a college football game. I can't remember what the song was, maybe it'll pop in my head in a few minutes the more I keep talking about it. But, you know, it's just indicative of, you know, the trials and transgressions that, you know, a lot of minorities, in particular, you know, black athletes have to go through across sports. You know, we look at what Akeem has just gone through, and you know, that's infuriating. Then you look at the situation in college football, where, you know, obviously the bait to pay these players goes on, and it's really focusing on college football and college basketball, which we know are, you know, as Chris Rock once said, we 10% of the population, but we 90% of the Final Four. You know, and that's a billion-dollar industry. And, you know, obviously the NFL and, you know, their battles with obviously I don't even need to get into that. But, you know, we see these battles all across sports where black athletes not only have to, you know, justify their worth, but also, like, protect their own sanity. Like, Akeem is in this locker room because – he has a passion for hockey, but he's also doing his job. And then to hear your coach call you the N-word for, I don't know what the reason was, but it sounded like it was no good reason. Well, there's never a good reason to call somebody the N-word. Like, these are just the battles that these athletes have to face on a daily basis.
Yeah, you know, we got to take a quick break. We want to talk a little more about Akeem and his situation and bring Ben in to say, you know, what good can come from this, and maybe tie this in with the Colin Kaepernick situation, your other client that we're dealing with today. There's a lot of clients you have, but specifically with this issue. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
790 KABC. Talk Radio 790 KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. A second case of coronavirus has been confirmed in the Bay Area. Santa Clara County Health Officer Dr. Sarah Cody.
The individual is from China and arrived on January 23rd to visit her family here in Santa Clara County. Prior to her arrival, she had spent time in Wuhan. She's been at her family's home since her arrival and has not left home except to seek medical care. She's had a mild illness and has sought outpatient treatment two times since becoming ill. Her family is also isolated at home.
The case is not related to the first confirmed local case announced on Friday, which involved a local man who returned on January 24th from Wuhan, the part of China where the disease originated. KABC SoCal weather, mostly cloudy this evening with a 40% chance of showers, overnight lows in the lower to mid-40s. More news coming up in 30 minutes, continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-860-6565. That's 800-860-6565. 800-860-6565. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health issue and company and other factors. Not available in all states.
KABC is hooking you up with $1,000 four times a day.
That's free.
Listen, text, and win some free money on AM 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yes, you are listening to Gervie's Law. We are talking sports. It's Sports Law Day today. Good day to be Sports Law. I've got Ben Mycelis here, who's co-hosting with me in Carrie Kasem's absence. Hoselio Hansen, former NFL player, is here. Justin Tinsley's on the line. He's with the undefeated culture and sports writer. And we had Akeem Alou on the line from the Czech Republic. We're waiting to see if he can get back on the line. It's a long distance. And we're talking to him about what he suffered. It's really unthinkable when you're trying to play sports and a coach calls you out for your music, trying to associate it. One of my coaches is one of the biggest villains in Canada. His name's Graham James. Not sure if anyone's really heard about him in this country, but in Canada, he was convicted of abusing, hockey players specifically. Theron Fleury, who played for the Calgary Flames, Sheldon Kennedy, who also had a career. A lot of players he abused. He coached me, thankfully. At the time, I didn't know anything about it, and I don't know any of my teammates, whether they were abused by him, to read about it, and he's been in prison, and I think he's out now. It's really frustrating when someone, and bringing this back to Colin Kaepernick, who you represent, Ben, when you're just trying to do a job and all of these other issues come in the way of doing what you love.
And that's the thing. When you're trying to do the job, when you excel in the job, and then people stereotype you and give you these labels that are so unjustified and are just code words for the underlying racism that's taking place. I mean, at the end of the day, Akeem is called difficult, being told that he has a bad reputation. And despite the fact that statistically, if you put him side by side to any of these players in the AHL, which is like the AAA of hockey, he's on path to be earning millions of dollars a year, but each year he gets passed over saying he's got a bad reputation. He's not a leader. And those are just keywords for he's a black hockey player. And we need to be honest with what they're trying to say. And then it's like leadership. The ultimate leader is the Colin Kaepernick. The ultimate leader is the Akeem, the person who sees the injustice and calls it out. You know, and pivoting to Colin, that's what Colin did from bringing attention to racial injustice, to systemic oppression, and even to the issues that support his fellow players, like in the recent CBA and the collective bargaining agreement, bringing issues to these waivers and these liability waivers, and him saying, I'm not going to sign a liability waiver that waives my rights, and the NFL saying, well, every player signs away their rights. No, they don't. This has now become a central and pivotal issue in the 2021 CBA issue, precisely because Colin once again sacrificed himself, where he could have shown up, signed away his rights, given it all to the league. But he said, no, I'm not signing that. And as a result, a lot of players are going to benefit and not sign away their rights.
Yeah.
And that's what true leadership is. And so these labels, bad reputation, poor leader, you know, it's just a bunch of BS.
I want to talk to Hoselio about this. You've been in dressing rooms your whole life, sports life. Was there ever any pressure on you? Did you feel like the guys were talking and saying, oh, you got to fit in line, you can't be a whistleblower, you shouldn't do this? Or was there support? Because I know it divides the dressing room. How was your experience?
I was lucky enough to be on great teams with great leaders. Brian Dawkins, Donovan McNabb, Westbrook, those guys. They were really, really good leaders. Everybody was together as a team. Everybody worked hard together. Everybody had each other's back. So, I mean, you would have to ask probably other athletes, but in my experience, I mean, we were tight knit. Everybody was together, black, white.
Really?
Yeah, everybody was together in that locker room. I mean, early in my career, I played with the 49ers. We went 2-14. Didn't have that many great leaders on the team. And I played with Jeff Garcia there, Terrell Owens kind of to himself. He led by example. You know, I would say T.O. led by example. But I don't know. When I got to the Eagles, man, everybody was tight-knit. I mean, we all talked as a group.
But this is before Colin Kaepernick.
Yes, it is before.
Yeah. What do you think would have happened? Obviously, it wouldn't have been the same experience.
If it was in my locker room?
Yeah.
I think we would have rolled with him. I think we would have had his back.
Well, here's the thing.
I think we would have had his back for to a certain extent. Like, we would have had his back, for sure.
And Colin's locker room had his back. He was voted with the award of basically being the best teammate on the team. Whatever, there's an award that's given in the locker room. He got the award for being, you know, the biggest leader of the team. Unanimously, it's the ownership. It's the league that was trying to co-op and hijack, and the president of the United States who was trying to co-op the message, who now want to erase his name. But to the players, he's a hero, and they loved him.
I like him too. I love him too.
And especially when you talk about, you know, the CBA, the deal, the collective bargaining agreement is what we're talking about. And when you talk about a waiver, why should a player be waiving his rights to injury compensation? It's a very, very rough game. You know, Jose, you played a long time. Basketball's rough as well. And you're thinking, how much power can the owners put over the players? I mean, if they come to you and, you know, they say, oh, they want you to play 17, 18 games instead of a 16-game schedule, Hosalia. I mean, your body takes a beating. What do you say?
I would say, do you want to guarantee my contract? That's exactly what I would say. They need to start guaranteeing these contracts. I mean, it's ridiculous. You're playing year to year. You can get hurt on any play. You got families, kids to take care of. It's just not fair. I mean, it's not American. It's just not fair, man.
Justin, what has been your experience in this regard after talking to players and understanding what they're facing?
I mean, Jose Lo just said it. The fact that the NFL of all sports doesn't have guaranteed contracts and is the most violent sport there is. Like, when I talk to players on and off the record, you know, that's what they want. They just want to be paid with their work. And I can only imagine how gut-wrenching, how scary it is to know, one, that you're always a play away from your career ending, and then you're a play away from your career ending and not, in some cases, not being able to support your family.
What has to be. What do you guys think? I just got to take the other side for a second because we've got to take a break in 2 minutes. But I want to know what you guys think of the general feeling in the population that when a player doesn't put up, signs a big contract. I'm a huge Minnesota Vikings fan. Kirk Cousins signs an $84 million contract, and I'm on the sites all the time. Everyone's saying, you know, he's not worth it. It's guaranteed. You know, he's a guy, Cousins is a guy who I think is really putting in the effort. It's a bad example of that, but there are some players that maybe get the guaranteed contract and don't produce.
There's players in other sports that get guaranteed contracts too, and numbers produced. It's part of sports. I mean, it may not be his fault. Yeah, it might not be his fault for him not producing. Maybe he doesn't have enough people around him. Maybe he doesn't. He's not. They're not running the right plays for him. I don't. You know, it's more to it.
Yeah, and if the owners have skill, then they should be able to see through that. They got to make the right investments if they want to make the big bucks. You know, that's what they got to do. You know, they want to game the system. They want a salary cap. They want to manipulate the marketplace, and they don't want guaranteed contracts.
So. You know, Ben, I'm smiling at that because you and I, as lawyers, we know that so well. I make decisions every day of my life that impact my clients, and sometimes they're the wrong decisions. Well, guess what? I don't have a safety net. If I screw up on my decision and it affects my client, then who's to blame? I am. I take responsibility. I made that decision for better, for worse.
Exactly. And if you're a billionaire owner, I think you have more leeway to make that mistake as well.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Justin, you sound like you're chomping at the bit there.
No, I just, you know, people make bad hires all the time. That's not just, you know, singularly to the NFL. Like, I can look out a window right now and look at any company, and I can talk to some manager and be like, is everybody here a great hire? And they'll be like, no, I messed up on that. I mean, look at one of my best friends is a Chicago Bears fan, and every week he always tells me, we drafted Trubisky over Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
And Deshaun Watson.
That's right.
So, yeah, that's...
Yeah, and when you give someone a contract, you know, that's the decision you make. Why not protect them? We got to take a quick break. We want to talk a little bit about the Astros scandal. Moving away from football, after the break, you'll listen to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposures, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner. If you're suffering from a work-related injury, Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW. Or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit beefy, or even with type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Affordable term life insurance is out there. Call Term Provider and speak with Big Lou at 800-481-1458. 800-481-1458 or visit BigLou.com. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too.
Discover why Audible gives you the edge. Stay informed, inspired, and entertained with the world's largest selection of audio titles. Hear leading experts on relationships, careers, finance, and fitness anytime, anywhere with the Audible app. Whether you want to tackle a new skill, focus on your healthiest self, or discover all the new releases, there's no better place to listen than Audible. Download the Audible app, start a free 30-day trial, and your first audiobook is on us.
Get Smash Mouth Conservative Talk. Afternoons 3 to 6 with Ben Shapiro on AM 790 KABC. Your home for Trojans football.
Right on!
Need a new perspective on law and life? Call Alan Gervie and Kerry Kasem now at 800-222-KABC. That's 800-222-5222.
All right, Minnesota Vikings. Wow, she was amazing at the Grammys last week. I love the fact that they talk about the Minnesota Vikings. Everyone on the Vikings are trying to figure out who she's talking about. Man on the Minnesota Vikings, that's Lizzo, of course. We only have a few more minutes, but we got another topic. This has been a great show. We're doing sports, and I'll say, and the law. The laws of sports. We have a great panel, Ben Mycelis, Hoselio Hansen, Justin Tinsley, and we had Akeem Alou on, but he had to go to sleep. He's in the Czech Republic, but thank you, Akeem, for taking your stance, making people wake up, especially in the hockey world. I've been a hockey fan my entire life, played my entire life hockey, played with Brett Hull, played with about nine other guys in the NHL, mostly baseball. I played with them, actually, to be honest. I wasn't that good a hockey player to make it to the NHL, but I played baseball with them. And I will tell you that there was a lot of controversial things that went on even as kids in Canada, growing up in Canada, but none as big in baseball when I played for the Lord Roberts Beavers with Brett Hull and Blake Hull and Bob Hull Jr., because Bobby Hull was playing for the Winnipeg Jets at the time. None as big as the Astros scandal. We did not have that scandal growing up in Winnipeg for the Lord Roberts Beavers. Ben Mycelis, you are outspoken on so many subjects. I know you have an opinion. Should the Dodgers be awarded the World Series?
I think the Dodgers have a good legal action for compensation. I think that a lot of the bonuses are tied to performance-based bonuses for the players, and the players lost out on significant compensation based on the stealing of the signs. So to me, whether or not they get the World Series or not, I mean, to me, that victory would be a pyrrhic victory regardless, but I think that they got to get paid.
Does that mean you're going to sue? Do you have any clients who you think may pursue lawsuits in this regard?
I think there are valid claims that are out there. And I think that it's worthwhile investigating. I don't think this is a fanciful idea. I think it's an appropriation of trade secrets. I think it is, you know, a tortious interference with contractual relations by cheating. You know, I think under the baseball constitution, there's a cap at the penalty, and it's only like $5 million, which doesn't even go anywhere near the actual damages that were caused.
Right.
But just even think, for example, you know, of the MVP who came from the Astros, you know, who would apparently have received the tip-off of how the pitches were going to happen versus who came in second in the MVP race.
Exactly.
On a contract, that could be 7-8 figures and salary difference based on getting, you know, the MVP dot. So players have been significantly injured, and my prediction will be that there will be some litigation in the near future. I'm not saying that it's going to come from me or Garagos and Garagos, but my prediction is there are valid claims out there.
Yeah, Justin, would you tend to agree with Ben?
Look, Batman he's the legal mind. You know, the extent of my legal knowledge goes to Law and Order and Criminal Minds. So I won't dare try to speak over him. But I will say this. If I'm on the Dodgers, and yes, they have a great leg to stand on in terms of getting that World Series trophy. But if I'm a player, and it's just me speaking right here, I wouldn't want the trophy. Because, yes, it'll be an asterisk for the Astros. Like, in 2017, they did this. But it'll also be an asterisk for the Dodgers. Like, in 2017, we got this trophy because this happened.
Right.
I wouldn't necessarily want it. And I'm the president of the Barry Bonds fan club. We meet every Wednesday at the lobby of the local Marriott, and I believe that man should be in the Hall of Fame. But the thing that really gets me about this scandal, one, as my a good buddy of mine, June Lee from ESPN, wrote, this is the first 21st scandal that we've seen in baseball. The last scandal we really saw was steroids. And it'll be interesting because I want to know everybody that's involved in this scandal, whether it be the manager, the general manager, and, you know, Carlos Beltran. I want to see if they're going to be allowed back in the sport because even, you know, the alleged steroid users, Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, and so on and so forth, they were allowed back in the game
right.
as hitting coaches.
It'll be
interesting to see what happens with these guys.
What's the deal with Cora? Why are we waiting so long? Ben, do you have any idea why they haven't penalized Alex by now?
No, is the short answer.
No, it's ridiculous. I mean, here it is, one of the main characters, and they can't get their act together. You know, Joselio, as a professional athlete, when you see that, it must burn you up thinking of guys cheating. I mean, I don't think the Dodgers aren't getting the World Series. They're not going to give it to them. And Justin's right. If they did, it's a hollow victory. But there should be consequences. You must get frustrated seeing it.
Yeah, it's pretty gut-wrenching right there. Like, if you're the Astros players or Jose Altuve, how do you sleep at night as a competitor knowing that you knew what pitch was coming? Like, how do you even talk to your friends at receive congratulations on winning the World Series with that happening? It's just overboard. And the Astros players should have known that they went overboard. I mean, come on, it's different than the steroids era, but this is really changing the game, the outcome of games here. Mm-hmm. This is ridiculous. Like, picture me on a football field, knowing what route
the receiver was
going to run.
Right.
We always had that 10% doubt. Like, I watched a lot of film before the game, so I kind of could read routes sometime, the way that, you know, the receiver splits out wider, he might run a slant, or third down and five, they like to run this route. But you always had that little bit of doubt, like, I'm not going to go for this pick. It's not worth it. But if I knew that this was happening for sure, I mean, I would have so many pick sixes in my career.
Right. You know,
and I would make more
point.
Money. I would make more money. I would have more money, too. So, I mean, it's crazy, man.
That is a great point. And, you know, when you think about it, this is real cheating. Not to say that steroid use isn't, but it really is something that affects the game. And, you know, when you bring Pete Rose into it. And you know, it was a little disturbing when Jessica Mendoza, who is a fantastic softball player, I saw her grow up. Her mother worked at our law firm for 25 years, so I knew Jessica as a little girl. When she came out and kind of badmouthed the whistleblower, I mean, Ben, that's got to drive you crazy because that's something that you know, in your line of work, you got to respect someone.
Oh, absolutely. You got to respect the whistleblower. I mean, especially here. I mean, this is going to make the game better. And what's been exposed is good. I mean, this was good for the sport, good for everybody.
You know, I got to tell you, I wish we had more time. This is a great panel. Justin Tinsley from The Undefeated, thanks for being here. Joselio, always love it. Love having you here. Ben Mycelis, you got to be my partner here in crime when Carrie's not around.
I'm here. Just let me know.
And Mom, thanks for being here. You were really a teammate here.
It was pre-recorded and furnished by Rowan, Gervie, and Wynn.